Amen. A little verse of scripture here. Look at Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. Oh boy. Amen. Thank you, brother. You know, we doing all week in West Virginia and forgot to do that. There's coon hunters up there all over the place. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. We're getting ready to go across the Red Sea. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. I'm going to stop reading right there tonight and go over this story with you and preach to you on the subject, God's way of salvation. This deliverance that God wrought for Israel here at the Red Sea has been one of the greatest and most disputed miracles in all the Bible. There's a striking analogy, but likeness or correspondence between this and our salvation. 1 Corinthians 10 said, all these things happened to them for an example that we would follow after their step. So all these Old Testament stories are types and pictures of things that happened to us in the New Testament. So tonight, as we look at this story for just a few minutes, you understand the story. God told His people, Israel, He said, I'm come down to deliver you out of Egypt's bondage. This is a great story. This is one they fuss about in seminaries. It's one they mock at in our colleges and universities, saying it's impossible for Pharaoh and his army, because they went across the Reed Sea and it wasn't but 4 inches of mush. And the old preachers talk about Pharaoh and his army drowning in 4 inches of mush, you know, and all of that. And it's a much disputed miracle. The reason the devil attacks this miracle so much is because it pictures our salvation. And the Bible says that down in Egypt's bondage, briefly, quickly tonight, that they were made to serve with rigor and better bondage. And the Bible said that old Pharaoh, he sat on the throne and he made their life hard, hard, just like God's people are today. And the Lord said, He said, Moses, He said, I want you to do something. He said, I want you to take a lamb. And He said, when you get this lamb, He said, you take this lamb and you keep it up to the 14th day of the month. He said, your lamb should be without spot or blemish. Now, on the count of three, you tell me who that lamb is a picture of. 1, 2, 3. Jesus. All right, that's Jesus Christ pictured back there in the Old Testament. And God said, Moses, you take that lamb. He said, on the certain night that I appoint for you, you cut it, you cut its throat, you spill its blood. And every one of the children of Israel, He said, you're to take that hyssop. Now, hyssop was something about like a limb off something, like that right there. Oh, that can come out pretty easy. He took that right there. He said, you take that hyssop, and He said, you dip it in that basin of blood. He said this. Now remember, this is 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was ever born. They didn't know the story of the blood and the cross like we know it. They didn't even have the Old Testament. They didn't have the Ten Commandments. They didn't have nothing. But God, in His foreknowledge, told Moses, He said, Moses, dip that hyssop in the blood. And He said, you get that blood and it's dripping off there. And He said, if you want your son to be spared, your household, He said, you put it on the lintel, you put it on the side, and you put it on this side, on the doorpost there, over it. So there was blood over the door, there's blood on both sides of the door, and there's blood at the bottom of the door. Them four spots. Now you can see immediately what that pictured. On the count of three, you tell me what it pictured. 1, 2, 3. The cross. Absolutely. Before it ever happened. You see, God's plan had always been that to let Jesus come and die on the cross. Amen. Jesus' death on the cross was not an afterthought. It wasn't plan B, like somebody tried to tell us one time. They said, well, Jesus came to His own received Him not, and everything messed up, and so they killed Him, and nothing went according to God showed Moses way back there. Gotta be blood there, gotta be blood there, gotta be blood there, gotta be blood there. And so the first thing I want to say about it tonight, God's plan of salvation, is that it is a blood-bought salvation. It's a blood-bought salvation. God told that angel, He said, the death angel's coming through town. And He said, when this death angel comes through town, He said, he's going to look for something on your door. He said, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt tonight. And He said, when I do, I'm going to look for the blood. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so those people went to work. They put up their lamb. They kept it up to the 14th day of the month. They kept that lamb there. And on the 14th, or the 15th day, that the same week, that revival that I got saved in down at Nebo was going on that week. And they dipped that blood and they put it on the door. I can imagine that night. I can imagine that night in Egypt. There was a lot of scared people. I mean, buddy, there's a million of them Jews down there. And they were scared. I can imagine in one house, they was laying down to go to sleep that night. And the little boy laid down to go to sleep. He was the firstborn. He laid down to go to sleep and he said, Daddy, isn't tonight the night the death angel's going to come? He said, that's right, son. He said, Daddy, I'm scared. I don't think I can sleep. He said, Daddy, I am scared. And the daddy said, don't worry, son. Everything's all right. He said, I've done what God said to do. I put the blood on the door. And the little boy said, but Daddy, I've been bad. I've done a lot of bad things. Daddy, I've said some bad words. Daddy, I cheated at school on a test. Daddy, I'm scared God's going to kill me tonight. And the daddy said, son, I know you have. Me and your mama's done bad stuff too. But he said, son, all God said to do was put that blood on the doorpost. He said, I believe it'll be all right. And he said, that little boy just lay there maybe, and he couldn't go to sleep. He laid there over in the house next door. There's another family. And they was over there singing, and they were all singing, and they were singing, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. And they kissed their little boy, and he went to sleep, and laid there and slept like a baby. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Now, out of those two little boys, which one was the safest? Neither. They was both the same safe. Right? He just said he was. He worried about it all the time. He was secure in it. And neither one of them was any more safe than the other. This one over here wringing his hand, about to go crazy, afraid the death angel was going to kill him. And that one over there just went off to sleep, and his mom kissed him on the cheek, and he went to sleep and floated off into dreamland and didn't worry about it a bit. He was just as safe as he was. He just didn't realize it and believe it. You know, there's a lot of people tonight go through their whole life, saying, well, I just don't know. I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure if I'm saved. And I'm just worried about it. Oh, no. What if I'm really not saved? No, no. I just don't know if I'm not enough. And I just don't know if maybe I really didn't get saved. And I don't feel saved. And I feel like if I was saved, I really wouldn't have done this. And I feel like if I was really saved, I wouldn't have done that. Let me tell you something, buddy. Have you done what God said to do? Did God say, put your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ? Have you done it? Well, if you have, you're just as safe, buddy, as there's a rock on this pulpit. I ain't ready yet. You're just as safe as that rock on that pulpit. You're just as saved as D.L. Moody. You're just as saved as Fanny Crosby. You're just as in as anybody else. You just need to rejoice and rejoice over your salvation. Hey, let me tell you something tonight. I'm just as saved tonight as anybody ever has been, because I did what God said to. My faith is in the blood. It's a blood-bought salvation. If some of you had let that get a hold of you tonight, you'd take a lap around this building. Amen. Boy, you let that get a hold of you, it'll turn you every way but loose. We got talking up our tent the other day. Me and Brother James, these brothers, and they was in there straightening up chairs and working. And I got to thinking about it. And they said, boy, there's some mean people in this country. And I said, yeah, there's some mean people in us, North Carolina, too. We're all mean. Amen. There's none good. No, not one. I got to thinking about it. I'm saved by the blood. It was a blood-bought way. Now, 12 o'clock come that night. The death angel comes through. There comes the death angel down the street. The death angel comes in here. The demons are all around him. And the demons say, get him, kill him. And the death angel looks in there, and the demon comes up and said, that old boy don't even been going to church regular. You going to kill him? Look here. Look here what he did the other day. I got a record of it right here. You going to kill him, ain't you? Death angel peeped on the front door and said, no. Well, look what he did. He ain't much of a Christian. Look what he did. Death angel said, sorry, I'm passing by this house. They got the blood on that door. Amen. Boy, he walked right on by it like that. Right on by. Over here, here's a pretty good fella. As a matter of fact, the house down the street, they thought they were so good, they didn't need that blood. The house down the street thought they was good enough. They say, well, we go to church every Sunday. We give tithes of all that we possess. We fast twice in the week, and we're so glad that we're not like them old wicked sinners that hang around down there. Oh, we've never done anything wrong. There's no use in us. There's no use in killing that blood, that old slaughterhouse religion, and doing all that stuff. We'll be all right. God will pass. We've never done anything wrong to offend Him. And the death angel comes in there and goes, shh. And the little boy's laying there dead the next morning. The next house. Here's some people. They said, well, them's Baptists right in there. And the death angel said, I'm not on a denomination hunt. I'm looking for one thing. I'm looking for the blood. If the blood's on the door, then I'm going to pass. And if the blood's not on the door, then I ain't going to pass. He said, I'm not going to do it. He said, I'm just going through. I'm glad to tell you tonight, I've got the blood on the door. Have you got the blood on the door? If you have, rejoice. Rejoice. For your name is in God's book. And there ain't nothing going to take it out neither. It was a blood bought way. The life of the flesh is in the blood. They said they took some Methodist hymnal some time back and they changed the old hymn, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, to Jesus, thy robe of righteousness. And they took out the blood of Jesus Christ and substituted robe. Anytime you leave out, that's that house I was telling you about a minute ago, thought it was too good for the blood. You know, they set up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the airport. And I've been to most, I don't know if I've been to that one. No, I probably have. I know I've been to Philadelphia, but I don't know if I've been, I probably have been to Pittsburgh Airport. But anyway, they tell us that on one of the big buildings, skyscrapers in Pittsburgh, there's a big, huge church, there's a big lit up cross. Lights up and you can see it for miles and miles and miles. And one of the pilots said, he said, when we're coming in, he said, most of us pilots, we come in and we look for that cross. And he said, we see that cross, we use it to guide that big plane into the runway. We use it for a marker so we can hit the runway safely. Boy, I heard that story and I thought, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're through this life, we're hoping to land safely on the other side. I'll tell you how you can't miss. Just aim straight for that cross. Cling to it. Believe in it. Trust in what happened on that cross. And you'll land safely on the runway of the streets of gold, shouting the victory because you went home by the way of the cross. Secondly tonight, not only is a blood-bought salvation, it was a supernatural salvation. This is something that God did, not man. Man just cooperated. That's the way it is when you get saved. God does it, you just cooperate with Him. He does the saving. He does the convicting. He does the drawing. You just respond to Him and cooperate with Him. Can I tell you something tonight? Everybody in this church, all you folks in the balcony, all you down here, back there, everybody here tonight can leave this building with a clean slate. You can leave this building with your heart looking just like that right there. Your record. Start all over when you walk out there. You say, well, people won't forgive me. Who cares, man? All that matters is that God forgives. People never will forgive you. People will hold something against you forever. But it don't make one bit of difference. If God's erased it, then you shout about it. I'd a whole lot rather God forgive me and people not than people forgive me and God not. It was a supernatural salvation. Every time we meet, we're showing this. You see what God did? He called them people out of Egypt. He said, all right, let's go. Let's all go. We're going out of Egypt. They walked out of Egypt, 1.5 million maybe of them. They come out of there 1 million strong. They got out there in the desert place and they were called out of Egypt. When you and I got saved by the blood, God calls us out of Egypt. He don't get the world out of you. He gets you out of the world. He said, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Listen, when you get saved, God starts working on you, calling you out of the world. You start dropping off stuff. You start leaving that old world behind you. That old habits, them old friends, them old pastimes. Things you do, you start leaving things behind as you go out and follow God. It was a called out group of people. Every time we meet here, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we are announcing to the world that we don't belong to the same group they belong to, that we are called out. That's what the word ecclesia. Ecclesia, like Ecclesiastes, ecclesia means called out. That's the word for a church. We are a called out assembly. And we're called out of this world. We're not out there tonight with this world. We're not out there tonight looking for happiness in the world. We're called out of the world to meet at New Manna Baptist Church. And one day God is going to call us off of this planet and home to be with Him. Listen. You know what God did to His son in the book of Matthew and Mark, Luke? He called him out of Egypt. You know what God did to Joseph's bones? Joseph's buried down there in a tomb in Egypt. And when they got ready to leave Egypt, they said, go dig up the old boy's bones. We ain't even going to leave his bones in Egypt. You know what Egypt's a picture of in the Bible? The world. And I'm glad to say tonight, God's not going to leave His children in this world. He ain't even going to leave our bones. Our bodies are going to get up out of Egypt, out of this old world, and leave to go with Jesus at the rapture. Our bones ain't even going to be left down here in this stinking world. He's going to call us out and home to be with Him forever. It might happen this week, saints of God. We got something to shout about and rejoice about. We're going to be called out in a supernatural salvation. Amen. The baptism there is the Red Sea. They came up against the Red Sea. I told you about this a few weeks ago, so I ain't going to repeat that. I'm just going to give you one more. We'll be through. They come up against that Red Sea. That's a picture of their baptism. You're called out. That's a picture of salvation. You hit the Red Sea, that's a picture of baptism. Then they begin their Christian walk headed toward Canaan. I want to say something to you. Somebody said, a preacher illustrated it like this. Said, when you're getting saved, trust in the blood of Jesus, that's first base. Getting baptized, joining church, second base. Serving God and getting involved in a good church, third base. And then you go on home to be with the Lord one day. And it don't matter how far you hit the ball or how fast you can run. If you miss first base, you're out. There's a lot of people join a church, serve good, do good deeds, make a good impression on people, but they missed first base. Have you made it to first base? Have you trusted the blood of Jesus Christ? Has there ever been a point in your life when you come and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm a dog. I ought to be in hell. But your blood was shed for me and I'm trusting it right now. Like they put it on that doorpost. If that happened to you, that's first base. It was a blood-bought salvation. It was a supernatural salvation. Finally tonight, it was a divinely approved salvation. Let me give you seven things. I'm just going to read them off to you tonight, and I'll be through. Freedom from bondage. Freedom from bondage. They said, you don't have to obey Pharaoh no more. He has no more power over you. We're leaving town. I want to say tonight, ladies and gentlemen, when the Son sets you free, when He sets you free from the world and the devil, the world can't have no more power over you unless you just choose to let it. Amen? If you're a Christian, you've got the power in you to overcome this world if you'll use it right. If you let the world beat you, it's your fault. If I let it beat me, it's my fault. Number two, it put them in a right relationship with God. Number three, it gave them a song. You know what they did first thing when they got out there? Bible said, and they sang the song of Moses. Lord, in mercy, what a song. You ever read that song? Over in Exodus 15, that's some song, man. It said, they brought us out of the land of Egypt. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And put us through the Red Sea. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And drowned old Pharaoh in the Red Sea and his chariots. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If I'd have thought about this, I could have made you up a good one. But I never even thought of it until just now. And they got out there and they said, oh, them chariots done turned them wheels off of them chariots. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And they got to sweat. praying and raising their hands and they sung the song. One of the sure signs somebody's been set free from this world is that God puts a song in their heart. David said he brought me up out of a horrible pit and established my feet on a good going and put a song in my heart, even praising our God. One of the sure signs you're right with God is that God puts a song in your heart. Up there the other night, I guess we had 75 or 80 of them kids at the altar. I said, all of you look up at me. Boy, our kids was up in the choir and some of our kids was crying looking at them. Fresh, right out of high school. They said that their high school, they had such a mob. They usually, I told you this morning, have about 10 people at their meetings. The auditorium was full Friday. I had never seen nothing like it. It's been 10 years since I've seen it here. And as one of the boys said, people are hard. We preach people to death around here. There's so many churches and preachers, it's harder. But I want to tell you something. We can still do here what we did there. God's the same here as He is there. If we'll get us a prayer list and start going over it and hitting houses like we did there for our fall program this year, we can see the same thing. We saw 100 people saved here and about in our fall program last year. So don't let the devil trick you and say we can't have it here. We sure can. We have for 20 years. Spurts and spurts and spurts. But man, it's so easy there. I guess it's what made us have so much fun. It's so easy. You shake a bush, you know. And that's like my daddy said when daddy first moved here. You know, he said, a man ain't got a chance around here. You shake a bush and 10 preachers fall out of it. And that's true. That's true. But up there, it ain't like that. They couldn't believe that I was a full-time pastor. There's no such thing around there. And all those kids looked at me and I said, y'all, you know what I'd like to do with y'all? Start a big old giant youth choir. And so they got the idea from that and they met this evening. They're supposed to meet Tuesday night at one of the churches. And I said, can you sing? And they was all crying. Boys, football players. You know the head basketball player, the one that's the star, other, he got right with God, and his girlfriend who's a cheerleader. There's a bunch of them Tug Valley cheerleaders we prayed here for months. Got saved and got right with God. I don't know how many yet. LC got saved. He preached Friday night. Handsome Ransom got saved. Benny Ray got saved. Let me describe Benny Ray to you. I'll read these off and I'll be through. Y'all just, how many, this will happen quick. How many of you have heard James Dobson's program over the last few years when he had a story on there called A Man Called Norman? Anybody heard that story? That's Benny Ray. Perfect. He is, that's Benny Ray. This guy, he lives in an old house by himself, and I'm not making fun, it broke my heart. He lives in an old shack with no water, with rats running all over the house. He sleeps with his clothes on to keep the rats away from him. Brother John said they went to a house the other day visiting. I believe Brother John, Brother Freddie, one of y'all, or Brother Keith, and said while they were sitting there witnessing, they could hear something scratching over there. While he's digging in the walls and in the roof. And that's where your kids slept. No, they didn't either. They didn't, believe me. They slept in my cousin's house. And did you know what? Benny Ray was standing out there. They say he's crazy. He won't let nobody help him. And he ain't but 24. Got long, greasy hair. Hangs down right here. Looks like Charles Manson. And he's standing out there looking down in the weeds. And Linda Gale, my cousin, said she woke up one morning, middle of the night, and he's standing in her kitchen with a living room. In the living room, in the kitchen with a butcher knife about that long. And I had talked to him all night. And I said, why don't they put him in a home? She said, there ain't no place in West Virginia for people like that. But the whole state's that way. You know, they'd have to build a wall around the state. you know what they call about 10 West Virginia women in one room, don't you? Full set of teeth. But they, old Benny Ray, bless his heart, he is out there. And he thought everybody was trying to kill him, and he wouldn't eat nothing. And all he'd eat was little packs of ketchup and mustard where you can break it because he knew that wasn't poison. And I stopped down there. I believe it was, I had Corey and Bethany and Emily. And I was taking them to eat. Well, I forgot where we was at. And they said, there's Benny Ray. I said, we're going to go talk to him. He said, we want to go with you. We want to see Benny Ray. Everybody want to see Benny Ray. And there he stood on the side of the road. I pulled up beside him. I was driving my cousin. She got a brand new Tahoe. And I was driving it, and I said, "You Benny Ray?"
"Yep."
Wouldn't even look at me. I said, "Benny Ray, you going to come to the youth crusade we're having uptown?" He said, "Can't make it tonight." I said, "Well, I'm the preacher. And I'll come get you up here. I know where you live up here. I'll come get you if you'll go tonight." And he said,
"Can't make it tonight."
I said, "Benny Ray, we got singers here and we're going to have a good time and the Lord's blessing. And why don't you come tonight?" And he said,
"Can't make it tonight."
That's the truth. He said the same thing over and over. And I was over here. He's looking down in the weeds like this. And his hair was up. And honest to goodness, he, I don't believe he's had a bath in months. They said he played Dungeons and Dragons and done a bunch of drugs and stuff, and he just fried his brain. Lives by himself. And if my cousin, when she goes and gets groceries, she takes him some food out there, and that's how he eats. But that night, somehow or another, Benny Ray wound up outside the tent, wouldn't come in. I think he used our visit, girls. I think the Lord used it. And he showed up outside the tent, and he was hitchhiking to Williamson, 25 miles away. And Brother John Ollis, and I think Jordan, some of them boys, got him out in the parking lot. And they said, "Benny Ray, you believe the Bible?"
"Yeah."
"You believe you're a sinner, Benny Ray?"
"I said, yeah."
"You want to go to heaven?"
"Yeah."
And they led him to the Lord out there. They said he prayed. They said he got down on his knees. And everybody around there was scared. They said, "Oh, he's crazy. You can't do nothing with him." But I believe God hears the prayers of a person like that, don't you? Sure he does. Sure he does. And Benny Ray got saved. And Brother John took him on down 20 miles where he's going. He gave him a song. Those kids there that night, I said, "Can y'all sing Somebody's Praying?" And they all started singing it. We sung it 40,000 verses of it this week for invitation. I was so proud of our kids. They sung. You know how come I screams loud? They sung for 3 solid hours Friday night, just about. I preached some in between it, but they sung 3 hours almost. And I hollered and screamed and sung probably almost 4 hours that night and do every night. And I'm used to it, but it's hard. Dust was flying. Lord, it was awful. That's what's matter with poor old Brian tonight, they said. When people come to the altar, dust just boil up. And it's everywhere. It just go in your mouth and nose. And all the clothes had dust all over them. It was so dry. But those kids looked up and said, "Somebody's praying." And man, it got on. It got on. When God saves you, He'll put a song in your heart. Don't you remember when you first got saved, you thought, "Man, this is wild." You was going down the road singing this church music. Sings you hear at church. It's great, man. It's great. And then, right quickly, number 4, He gave them a God consciousness. When you get delivered, you get a God consciousness. In other words, everything you think from then on, everywhere you go, you think, "Man, what does God think about this? Is this right? Is this wrong?" You didn't worry about it, did you? You didn't care less. And number 5, He gave you a new start in life. They had the whole world in front of them. Start all over again. That's what you can do tonight. Fresh start all over. Number 6, He gave them a testimony. Listen, them people had a testimony. From then on, they could say, "I'm watching you." They could say, "We was in bitter bondage. We was in Egypt. But God delivered us." You know why a lot of people ain't got no testimony? Because God ain't never done nothing for them. If God's done something for you, you got a testimony. Lastly, He filled them with joy and gladness. They sing about the joy of the Lord. And that's God's way of salvation. He does the same thing for us now. It's a blood-bought salvation. It's a supernatural salvation. And it's a divinely approved salvation. And you know you've got it if you've trusted in the blood of Jesus and let Him wash your sins away. And God put that testimony and witness and song in your heart. Let's stand, bow our heads for prayer.